Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory, and the grave has been denied. Jesus lives forever. He's alive. He's alive. He's the Alpha and the Omega. The first and last is He. The curse of sin is broken.
Hallelujah, Jesus is alive. He's alive and well and seated at the right hand of the Father, and He sends His Spirit into us. And we have that Spirit, so He's alive in us as well. Would you please stand with me for the hearing and the reading of today's gospel message that comes to us from Luke's gospel, the 24th chapter, verses 36 through 49. Hear these words. While they were still talking about this, Jesus Himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, I love that. They did not believe it because of joy and amazement. I lost my place. He asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave Him a piece of broiled fish, and He took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." Then He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And so ends this, the reading of His holy word, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. And I invite you to pray along with me, please. God of goodness, God of mercy, God of love, and God of promises. God of promises kept, we thank You always in every way for the gift of life we have in You. We thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit that is with us even now as we pray. And by that Spirit, O Lord, we just ask that You would emblazon all the words from Scripture that we have heard here this morning. Emblazon them onto our hearts and transform us by those words that we might be and become the people that You created us to be. People of faith, people of hope, people of love, and people who love their neighbor as themselves. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in Your sight. For it is in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen. Excuse me. Well, we're a lectionary church, which means we follow a standard prescription of what we'll preach over a three-year period. So we basically go through the Bible in the three-year period, and we hit seasons like Advent, and we hit seasons like Lent, and then we hit seasons like the season that we're now in, which is called Eastertide. It's a 50-day period between Easter and Pentecost, and we're in that period now, and we're hearing the stories of how Jesus had presented himself to people who were his disciples and others, 400 or 500 people that Jesus appeared to after he was raised from the dead. And this particular story starts out in Luke's gospel and says, while they were still talking about this. And it's always made me think, well, why do we start with something like that? While they were talking about these things. What things? You know, don't you think when you read something like that, well, what things transpired before that? What were they talking about? Well, the particular chapter is Luke 24, and it starts out on the road to Emmaus. Have you ever heard that story? Where the two were walking and Jesus joins them on the walk, but they're prohibited from knowing who he is. They're walking and they're talking with Jesus, and they're amazed that he's the only one in Jerusalem that hadn't heard the things about Jesus. And he's saying, well, what things? He's acting dumb. Like, what things are you talking about? And then they start to tell him the story about Jesus and how he was taken by the Jewish leaders and how Pilate condemned him and that they were put him on the cross and he died and he was buried. And then they say to him, and what's more, this morning, so it's Easter Sunday night, what's more, this morning, the angels appeared to Mary and she told the disciples and they ran to the tomb and they found it just as the way she had said, that he wasn't there. He wasn't in the tomb. And so they sat down and they started having a meal together. And they still did not recognize Jesus. Sometimes in our lives, we don't recognize Jesus either. We'll be reading a gospel message. We'll be reading a devotional book. We'll be watching a TV show or something like that. And there'll be an element in it of truth that reflects Jesus, and we don't see it. But when we do, our eyes are opened. It's an aha moment, and it's like, wow! Our eyes are opened, our mind is open, and the Spirit is the one that unlocks that. Now, they didn't have the Spirit yet because Jesus had not yet ascended to the Father. And they did not yet send the Spirit. In the gospel message, he says to them, stay here in Jerusalem until you receive the gift from my Father. Okay, the gift of the Holy Spirit that will give them power and will give them abilities like the ability that we just saw that Peter had when he was going to temple and he meets this beggar that's alongside of the road that had been there for 38 years. The practice was that people would take him because he needed help. He couldn't go to work, but they would take him to the beautiful gate, and they would place him outside the front of the beautiful gate, and people would give alms, and that was a requirement of our faith. It's just like us giving help to people in Africa for water. If you have faith and you know that people have need, you come alongside and you donate. And that was the practice. They didn't have Social Security. They had alms. And people would donate to this beggar. And so when Peter comes by and he says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I freely give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk. I love what Tom said. The name, the power of the name. In that name is the power. But not only in the name, the Spirit in Peter allowed him to be able to confidently say that. I wish I could say that to people. I wish I could tell people to be healed, you know, and I've seen that in my life. I've prayed for people that were healed, but not all the time. You know, I wished I could do that. Maybe my faith isn't as strong as Peter's, but in the name of Jesus Christ, he says, walk, and strength came into his ankles, and he got up. He didn't just walk, he danced. Can you imagine 38 years you aren't able to walk, and all of a sudden you have the power to do that? What an amazing gift. So, you know, Jesus meets these people on the road to Emmaus, and he opens up the scriptures to them, and then they have this meal. They invite him to stay. Now, they're a seven-mile journey from where the other disciples are, and they invite him to stay for the meal. They still don't recognize him. They still don't know who he is. But then they recognized him. Their eyes were open in the breaking of the bread. What a beautiful image. When he broke the bread and he gave that to them, they knew. And their hearts burned within them in the breaking of the bread. They were made whole. And you know what they did? All of a sudden, once they recognized who he was, pow, he's gone. He disappears. He's out of their presence, and it's like, where'd he go? Is he a ghost? They run back to Jerusalem. They meet up with their disciples. They're one of them. They're one of the followers. They're not the disciples, but they come in, and they end up in the upper room, and now it's Easter Sunday night, and now Jesus appears before that crowd, and they're startled, and they're amazed. And he says to them, look, don't be afraid. I'm not a ghost. I have flesh and blood and bones like you. Here, touch my hands, touch my side, touch my feet. And then I love this part. He goes, you have anything here to eat? Yeah, we got a filet of fish sandwich from McDonald's. We just came in, right? Yeah, they give him a piece of broiled fish, and he eats it in their presence. He wants them to know not only is he alive, but he's bodily alive. He's not a disembodied spirit that's going up into heaven. He is fully human and fully divine, and he's fully alive, and he's got this glorified body that eats fish. And he wants them to know that it's done. He opens up the scriptures to them, just like he had opened the scriptures up to the people on the road. It says he opened up their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them that this is what was written: the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he says, and you are witnesses to these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay here in the city until you be clothed with power from on high. You know, there's all kinds of scriptures that talk about Jesus in the Old Testament, because that's the scriptures that he would have opened them up. The New Testament wasn't written. It was being worked out. But in Isaiah, you have these words. Who has believed our message? This is Isaiah 53. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and he was rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and yet who of this generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. In other words, he died. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many and will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. You know, when we celebrate on Good Friday, in some of the words that we hear from the cross, Mark's Gospel, I believe it is, where Jesus says, "Lema, lema," no, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Those are the first words of Psalm 22. Psalm 22, in much the same way as Isaiah 53, recounts Jesus on the cross, that they took his clothes and they auctioned them off, that not a bone was broken, all these things that happened. Jesus starts saying that right from the cross. And they think, oh, he's calling for Elijah, he's doing this, he's doing that. But let me say this to you. If I were to start right here, right now, and I would start a prayer, I would imagine that you could finish it. If I were to say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," you would say, okay, so you could finish that prayer. Every good Jew could finish Psalm 22. It was the messianic psalm. It was all about the Messiah. And when Jesus is on the cross, he's letting them know this is what's going on. This is what's happening. And it ends in praise. It ends in him being exalted. It ends in him defeating death. And he's saying it right from the cross. It is finished. It's going on. It's going to be these 3 days. But this is some of the things that he opened up for these disciples. And it was an aha moment for them. They could look at it and say, why didn't we see it? He was hanging right there on the cross, and he was saying those words. Why didn't we see it? Well, they didn't see it because they weren't supposed to see it yet. They weren't supposed to see it yet. But when they did, and when their minds were opened, he said, wait here in Jerusalem until you receive the gift from my Father, the Holy Spirit. Then you'll be able to go out in power. That's the second part of the Gospel of Luke, is the book of Acts. It's Luke, page 2. And it's all the things that they did after the Holy Spirit had come into their lives. And Jesus told them, that when he was with them, he goes, because I go to the Father, greater things will you be able to do than I have done. Why? Because I go to the Father. Why? Because I'm the high priest in heaven. Why? Because I am working for you in heaven with God my Father. And I'm sending my Spirit and his Spirit into you so that you might be aware, and so that you might have power, not your power, as Peter said, but the power in the name, the greatest name of all, the name of Jesus, Joshua. God will save his people. We have that gift. Your son received that gift today. It's not fully realized in him yet, but it will be there for his whole life. And we all have that gift if we've been baptized. Use it. Use that gift. Allow God's Spirit to be manifest in your life in such a way that you will make a difference in your circle, your family, your friends, your business, your neighbors. Yesterday we celebrated the life of Dorothy Pavlik, who sat right over there just about every Sunday. She would critique my sermon. She'd say, "Pastor Tony, you said this, and I think it was that." You know, and I loved her for that. But she bore light. She had light in her that wasn't her light. It was the Spirit of God in her. And she wanted to share that light with all of us and everyone in our neighborhood. I live on Impala. And the first day we moved in the corner house over there, the parsonage, we got a knock on the door, and there was Dorothy, right, with cookies. And she says, "Pastor Tony, welcome to the neighborhood. I just live down the street, couple of doors down and across the street from you, and I made these cookies, and they were great." That was the only time she ever made these cookies, I think. But what a reception. And she says, "I'm a member of your congregation." And I said something to her, "Well, what do you want from me?" She says, "I want you to be a man of God." I said, "Okay, I'll try to do that." She was a light in our community. They called her the Mayor of Impala. But you know what? You are all lights, every one of you in here. Every one of us in here have light to bear. Not our light, but a reflection of the light that he gives to us. And when we allow that light to shine in our lives, we make a difference. We make a statement. And the world gets a little better and a little better, and a little better as we all do our part. He opened up their minds, and then he poured himself into them, and it changed the world. Let us pray. Lord, you give us all the gifts we need to be the people of God here on earth. You give us your word. You give us your Spirit, who reminds us of everything Jesus ever taught his disciples, everything Jesus ever taught us. You give us aha moments when we recognize you in the neighbor next door, or in the man across the street, or someone begging in front of the beautiful gate. You remind us of what you are and who you are, and you remind us of what you have invested in us, your own life. You poured out your life so that we might live in you and have our being, so that we might make a difference in this world. Bless us as your people, Lord. Give us faith, give us wisdom, and help us to hear and heed your word so that we can truly make a difference in a world that needs to see your love. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen.